So if you were with us last week at our all-church gathering, we talked about the parable of the sower as found in Luke chapter 8, or the parable of the soil. Now in this parable, Jesus likens the word of God to seed that is scattered by a farmer. And he likens our hearts to the soil in which the word of God is planted. Now, if you recall, if you were with us last week, we talked about the fact that if the soil is bad, then the seed that is planted or the seed that is scattered will not grow. However, good soil are those who receive God's word and let it take root in their hearts, and therefore they grow and they bear fruit. Now, this isn't someone who simply hears the word of God, but someone who strives to do what it says, and as a result, they grow and they bear fruit, and their growth and their fruit is notable and tangible. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last week in Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 16. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can. Luke chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 21. And I'm going to kind of break it in half as we go. It should be on the screen below me. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 16. And now this is the same conversation. So Jesus has just shared the parable of the soil, and he explained to his disciples what that parable meant. And in this same conversation, Jesus says this, verse 16, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Jesus is talking about things that are eternal and us putting our hope in things that are temporary, okay? He says it again. He says, "For the one who has," talking about the eternal, "more will be given. And to the one who has not," those who place their faith in that which is temporary, "even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Now, I want to stop right there. Now, this is not going to come as some big shocker. I've said this many of times to our people, but anyone who has eyes to see can see that this world is spiraling into darkness. Now, many of us, we go through life looking for the silver lining. Some of us, we bury our heads in the sand and pretend that everything's all right. But the truth is that we would have to admit that things are not going well. Things are not good here in this world, and yet we keep trying to follow the world's way to find hope and contentment and peace and joy and satisfaction, and yet studies have shown that we are more anxious and depressed than we have ever been. Suicide rates are at an all-time high, and we are more divided than many of us have ever seen. And yet, like Sisyphus from Greek mythology, we just continue to try to push this massive boulder up the hill, expecting different results, only to have it roll back down on us again. When are we going to open our eyes and see that the way of the world just isn't working? It's not working. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death." There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We see it every day. Death, disease, famine, violence, war, poverty, addiction. I see people every day that are so angry. People are plagued with such hatred and disdain for their fellow man. And listen, for all of our enlightenment and for all of our advancements in the fields of science and technology and psychology, listen, the world still hasn't been able to deliver the hope that we so desperately long for. It still hasn't been able to deliver the contentment and joy and satisfaction and peace that our hearts so desperately long for. But there's good news, church. There's good news that there is a God who desires to deliver us from this darkness, to make a way where there seems to be no way. There is a God who wants us to know that in the midst of such great darkness that he loves us and that we can ultimately find hope in him. That he loved us so much, in fact, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to be the light in the midst of this great darkness. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, John talks about this. He says this, he says, in the beginning was the Word. He's speaking of Jesus. So when you see the word here, it's talking about Jesus. And so John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen to this in verse 4. In him was life, the source of life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So listen to me, church. Without Jesus, because of our sin and our rebellion and our treason against God, we were walking in darkness towards death. Again, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So without Jesus, because of our sin and our rebellion and our treason against God, we are walking in darkness towards death. We are lost. But Jesus, according to Scripture, is the light of the world. And he came as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He paid the ransom for our sin so that we may walk in his light. Jesus is the light of the world. And according to what we just read, the darkness has never and will never overcome or extinguish the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's when the religious leaders grab a woman who has been caught in the act of adultery, and they take her out into the middle of the city before all of these people, and they pick up rocks, and they're going to stone her to death until Jesus steps in. And if you remember, Jesus says, he says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they drop their rocks, and they walk away. Well, this is the same scene. And after that happens, this is what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to read that again. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so when we place our faith and hope in Jesus and we follow him as he calls us to do, he says it right there, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So when we place our faith and trust in Jesus and follow him as he calls us to do, when the light of the truth about Jesus illuminates our life, listen to me, church, it is then our responsibility to shine that light before others to help them find the way. It's our responsibility to share Jesus and the hope that we found in him with others so that they might know the way. Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 8, in verses 16 through 18, he's saying, in the same way that you wouldn't light a lamp and cover it up or hide it because it would defeat the purpose, right? How many of you light a lamp and throw it in a closet and close the door? You don't do that, right? It defeats the purpose of turning on a lamp. So he says, in the same way that you wouldn't light a lamp or cover it up or hide it because it would defeat the purpose, we shouldn't hide the light that we have found in Christ and keep it to ourselves. Now, many of us, we adhere to what I like to call the golden ticket theology. And I'm going to explain what that is. That means at some point in your life, okay, maybe at a church service or at an event, you heard the word of God preached or proclaimed, and you may have come forward and you repeated a prayer, maybe got dunked in some water, you had this moment, right? And so now you have your golden ticket stamped, right? You're ready to go to heaven. And now all you have to do, and this is the golden ticket theology, is you think, all I have to do now is bide my time, maybe go to church every once in a while, or maybe pray at dinner, and then just wait until I go to heaven, right? When it all ends, whenever that is for me, right? That's golden ticket theology. I came forward, I said the prayer, now I just have to bide my time until I can catch the glory train to heaven. That's golden ticket theology. But listen to me, church. If the only purpose was for you to go to heaven, then at the moment that you said that prayer, why wouldn't God just snatch you up into heaven? Why wouldn't he just snatch you up? the moment that you prayed that prayer, right? He left you here. Listen to me. He left you here on this broken earth for a reason. And that reason is to shine his light in the darkness so that others might see. I hope you understand that, right? The reason that we're here is to shine the light of the hope that we found in Christ so that others might see, to advance his kingdom, to reflect his light, to be ambassadors of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. In verse 17 of Luke chapter 8, it says, Jesus says, "Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." There's going to be a moment, the scripture says, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There's going to come a time when we stand before God and all of us will see, right? And everything will be revealed. Every secret, every dark place will be illuminated. Listen to me. The truth, by its nature, it's meant to be revealed. And here, Jesus promises that there's coming a day when it's going to be revealed. So if we have the truth of God, and we truly believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the light in the darkness, the hope of nations, the cure for all that ails this broken and messed up world, if we truly believe that, then why in the world would we keep it to ourselves? Why wouldn't we share that with everyone that we came into contact with? Just as someone who had a cure for a terminal illness has a moral responsibility to share that cure and to spread that cure. Listen, God did not light your lamp so that it would remain hidden. Rather, so that you might display it for the world to see, to illuminate the darkness. We are ambassadors of his light. We are ambassadors of his hope. We're ambassadors of his joy, his peace, his contentment, his satisfaction. Jesus says this another way in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make followers of me of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." In other words, let your light shine before men. Share the light that you found in me with others. Tell them what I did for them, right? Baptize them in my name. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded them so that they might grow and they might bear fruit. Now, I've said this to our church before, but I believe that all of faith can be summed up by two things. Are you ready for it? One is listen to Jesus. Two is do what he says. All of faith can be summed up in those two things. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. I was thinking about it this way. One of my pet peeves is when someone asks me a question and acts interested in my life and in what's going on in my life, and then they don't listen for the response. Has that ever happened to you? When you're talking to somebody and they just walk away in the middle of you talking, or they start talking to someone else while you're talking to them, but they asked you a question and you're trying to respond, man, that irritates me like nothing else, right? I can't stand when that happens. Or maybe I'll put it this way, okay? Maybe some of you who are watching, you have strong-willed children, right? Who, when you tell them to do something, they may hear you, but they don't listen. Do you know what I'm talking about? Strong-willed children who may hear what you're saying, but they don't listen. Like, you can tell your child over and over again to go clean their room, and they may even respond by saying, okay, but still not do it. Some of you have children like this, and you know what I'm talking about, right? It's not that they don't hear you, and it's not that they don't understand what it is that you're telling them to do. It's that in that moment, they are being willfully disobedient. They're being willfully disobedient. We have a saying in my house, and that's delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So if I tell you to do something and you don't do it, you delay obedience, that's, you're disobeying. You're not doing as you're told, right? Listen to me. In the same way, many of us can sit for years in a church and hear the word of God spoken over us, but never really listen and never really do what it says. Many of us can sit for years and have the word of God preached and proclaimed over us and never really listen and never really do what it says. In verse 18 of Luke chapter 8, Jesus says, "Be careful how you hear," or "take care how you hear." James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, James says this. I love this passage. Listen to this. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, who listens and obeys the commands of God, which leads to growth and fruitfulness," right? "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres," remember last week we talked about bearing fruit requires patience and perseverance and endurance, right? I'm going to say it again. I know I've read it twice already. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Now, I think there's a real danger in American churches where people are content with having this head knowledge about Jesus. Like, we've heard it all, we have this intellectual knowledge about God, about who Jesus is, but somehow we feel no compulsion to act upon what we know. There's a real danger. Every week in churches, people who sit and listen, and they have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus, but they are under no compulsion to act upon what it is that they are hearing. And this is going to sound a little bit harsh, but I love you too much not to say it. But I want you to know this. At the root of all disobedience is unbelief. You can say that you believe, but at the root of all disobedience is unbelief. We simply don't believe that God is who he says that he is. Because true faith, the true understanding of who God is, inevitably leads to obedience. It's a trust that where he's leading us is what's best for us. But the truth is that many of us, if we're being honest, we don't believe that his commands are more beneficial to us than our own choices. So we go our own way and do our own thing. And then we cry out to him when we get in trouble. And that's rebellion. That's the very definition of rebellion. That's the very definition of sin. And listen, the enemy, he revels at our unbelief and our disobedience. As long as we're learning and never doing, no one ever matures in their faith, no one ever grows, and the kingdom of God never advances. Scripture tells us that our spiritual enemy, Satan, he is the great deceiver. And I believe that he's thrilled with the way many of us do church, right? And so the enemy, he's sitting back and he's going, "Look at these guys. They gather together every Sunday morning to hear a message that they have no intention of ever applying to their life. They're doing my job for me." And James says, when you hear the word and you don't do what it says, you're only deceiving yourselves. You're doing the deceiver's job for him. Our God is a God of repentance. He's a God of change and transformation. It is not his desire for us to merely hear his word and do nothing about it. You know, what grieves my heart as a pastor is that I can stand up here every week and preach and teach and proclaim the word of God to you and watch as people nod along and as people say amen and yet do nothing about it. Or I can spend time pouring into individuals and call them to obey God's word, but watch as nothing changes. Nothing takes root in their lives, and there's no fruit and there's no growth. I watch as they hear but refuse to commit their lives to him, refuse to walk in the light. And Jesus says, "Why would you light a lamp only to hide it? It says something about us, right? We were meant to shine the light, the hope of Jesus, for all to see. Continuing on in Luke chapter 8, verse 19, as Jesus is saying these things, it says that his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, Jesus was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But Jesus answered them, listen to this, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and what? And do it. I want to say that again. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Sounds kind of harsh, right? But what Jesus is saying, and I don't want you to miss this, is we show that we are close to him by hearing and obeying his word. All right? We show we are close to Jesus by hearing and obeying his word. Now, we might expect Jesus' immediate family, right, to have some special privileges with him. But here, as his mother and his brothers show up, it almost surprises us to see that they don't. And in this moment, Jesus indicates that his true family, those closest to him, is made up of those who listen and obey. We draw close to Jesus by hearing his word and doing what it says. So if we're to be committed followers of Jesus, and more than just people who show up and hear, but nothing ever changes, then we must be faithful to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Right? We got to do what he commands us to do. We got to be a people who live out our faith and act upon those things that we know to be true. Now, I believe that there are people who are watching this morning who would say, man, I really wish that God would move in a mighty way in my life. I believe that there are people who are watching right now that would say that. Man, I really wish that God would move in a mighty way in my life. I really wish that God would move in a mighty way in my family. I really wish that God would move in a mighty way in my marriage or in the life of my children. Or I really wish that God would move in a mighty way in my church. But let me flip it around. My question to you is this. Are you truly abiding in him? Because as we keep talking about, it's only when we abide in him that we bear fruit, when we remain in him, when we follow him, when we listen to him and do what he says. That's when we bear fruit. So are you truly abiding in him? Are you stepping out in faith? Are you walking in obedience to his word? Even though it may look strange to the world around us, right? Even though the world might say that it's wrong for us to walk in such a way, are you willing to walk in obedience to his word, to truly step out in faith? Are you praying? Are you seeking after God with all of your heart? The Bible says that we will seek and find him when we seek after him with all of our heart. Are you praying? Are you making disciples? Are you sharing the hope that you found in Jesus? The light of the world, are you sharing it with others so that they might know and they might be saved? Do you truly love your neighbor? Do you love them enough to tell them about Jesus and show them the love of Jesus? Listen, when we abide in him, his Holy Spirit will be made manifest in our lives, which means that his presence, his light, becomes obvious and apparent in us. When we abide in him, he fills us with his spirit, and that his presence, his light, is made obvious and apparent in us. And when that happens, listen to me, church, when that happens, we cannot help but to display that light for all to see. Don't hide it. If he truly is the Savior of the world, if he truly is the hope of nations, if he truly is the cure for all that ails this broken and messed up world, don't hide it. Walk in obedience. Let your light shine before men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that which it sent out to do. God, I pray right now that, God, you would awaken hearts, the hearts of those that are watching, God, to your purpose for their lives. God, that purpose being to know you and to glorify you and to make you known. That's what we were created for. Remind us in this moment, God, that that's what we were created for. To know and glorify you and to make you known on this earth. God, I pray for those who are watching. Those that have listened and sat and heard your word, but if they're being honest with themselves, they fail to walk in obedience to your commands. God, I pray right now, Father, that they would submit their lives to you. God, that they wouldn't just be all talk, calling themselves a Christian, God, but they would walk the walk, that they would step out in faith and walk in obedience to your word. God, I pray for our church, Grace City Church, that we would be a people who are completely sold out to you. God, that we would be a people who, because we know the hope that is found in you, the joy and the peace and the contentment and the satisfaction that is found in you, God, that we would be a people who couldn't help but share it everywhere we went. God, and I pray, Father, that as we walk in obedience to you, as we love one another, as we love you, and as we love those around us, God, that people would come to know you as Lord and Savior. They would place their faith in Jesus. God, make us a people who chase after you in obedience, knowing that your way is what's best. Your way leads to ultimately to peace and to joy and to contentment. God, that your way leads to blessing. God, use us to light up the darkness in our community and beyond. And may we give you all glory and honor and praise because you are worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.